はい、田中様、感謝します。今日のメッセージを祝福してください。どうか神様、あなたの、栄光を求めます。どうか あなたの真実によって栄光を受けることができるように望みます。今日私たちも神様について心が開かれて理解できるように助けてください。そして神様の見姿になれるように教えてください。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。Okay, so today I'd like to kind of go way back to the old style for a little small time. and I'd like to look at a little bit of Midrash. So really the purpose of this for us, for the first half is just learning again, maybe remembering how we should study the Bible, one way of studying the Bible. The other day in the Bible study, Stephen was sharing about the Rhema aspect of it, the personal word. This is not in any way against that, but I'm taking it from another perspective today. We're looking at more how to read and find connections between verses. For people who have been Christians for a long time, sometimes that becomes so obvious to us that we forget that there are other people who haven't actually learned how to do that. And so today, I'd like to help us to learn how to find some connections. So what I'd like to do is read from Leviticus, and we're just going to pick up where the Feast of Tabernacles teaching begins in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 37. So I'll read it out in English. Okay. These are the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as times of holy convocation for presenting to the Lord food offerings, burnt offerings, and grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings, each on its proper day. Besides the Lord's Sabbaths, and besides your gifts, and besides all your vow offerings, and besides all your free will offerings, which you should give to the Lord. Okay, so there are basically six feasts mentioned here, or six events where the Jews had to come together. And sometimes they had to all gather together, sometimes they didn't. But there were six major events in their calendar up until this point. The first, of course, was Passover, the Exodus, where they left Egypt. And they ate unleavened bread, and so it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So for a week, they would eat unleavened bread. The next event, feast in their calendar, was the first fruits, and that actually was at the same time as the Exodus. So on the night of the Passover, they left Egypt, but then on the next Sabbath, that was the Feast of First Fruits. And lo and behold, it happened to be the day that Jesus rose from the dead. He's the first fruits. So these things are all a picture of what Christ would do. And then, 49 days or 50 days? Yeah, 50 days after that, the resurrection was the Feast of Pentecost, hence the name Pentecost, because it was 50 days later. And that's the day that the harvest was completed, and that completion of the harvest was celebrated. So we have the Passover, we have the first fruits, which is the beginning of the harvest, and then we have the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost, which celebrated the end of the harvest. So there were three feasts, and they were all celebrated around springtime. But then after the summertime, then you come to the end of the year, and you've got three more feasts in the calendar. The first one was The first one was the Day of Atonement.
Yom Kippur.
And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. Which one did I forget?
The Days of War, so...
The Days of War, was it?
The Days of...
They were at the end of the year.
10 days of the days of Rosh Hashanah, the New Year.
Oh, the New Year, okay, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I'm mainly focusing on tabernacles today, so I wasn't actually thinking about going through all of them, but just to give a kind of an introduction. Yeah, we've got the last three. We have the Day of the Lord, I mean, the Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. And then, oh, the blowing of trumpets, that was the other one as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, so Rosh Hashanah, we have the New Year, blowing of trumpets. 10 days later, Yom Kippur. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right, that's it. So, just on here, if you didn't catch that, we have the blowing of trumpets, which is the New Year, or Rosh Hashanah. Then we have the Day of Atonement, or the Days of Awe, and then we've got the Feast of Tabernacles. So there are kind of basically six feasts, and there's a lot of depth, there's a lot of teaching in all of them. But the very end of the year ends with this Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the last one. And in our Sunday services, what we've been doing is going through John, the book of John, and we see that the book of John is kind of centered around these feasts, how Jesus fulfills the typology of these feasts. Last time we did John chapter 7, and today's allotment was John chapter 8, but John chapter 7 and John chapter 8 is the same 2 days. It's kind of all everything that happens in a very short time. And, you know, John 7 ends, they go home, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, and then the next morning, early in the morning, they're back at it again. So, this Feast of Tabernacles that it describes here, which we're about to read, is actually all typology which is fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus. So, starting with what we're about to read here, this is the background so we can understand what actually happens and why Jesus has all these fights and issues with the Pharisees and that when it comes to John chapter 7 and 8. So, let's look at verse 39. On the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the 8th day shall be a solemn rest. Notice the first and the last day were special days. And you shall take up on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days of in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations, and you shall celebrate it in the 7th month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All the native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Thus Moses declared to the people of Israel and appointed the appointed feasts of the Lord. Okay, booth, a tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent. A booth is a tent. So they would get these tree branches and they would make up little tents for themselves and sleep outside for that period of time. Okay, alright, so now we go on to chapter 25, verse 1, right? The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give to you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years, I'm reading verse chapter 25. Must have flipped the page. 24. Chapter 24, yeah, sorry. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the people of Israel to bring you pure oil from beaten olives for the lamp, that a light may be kept burning regularly. Outside the veil of the testimony, in the tent of meeting, Aaron shall arrange it from evening to morning before the Lord regularly. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. He shall arrange the lamps on the lampstand of pure gold before the Lord regularly. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf. And you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each pile, that it may go with the bread as a memorial portion, as a food offering to the Lord. Every Sabbath day, Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever. And it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings, a perpetual Jew." Instantly now we have a total change of scene, right? We've gone from describing the feasts, then he says, right, and don't forget you need oil, and don't forget you need bread, always in the tabernacle. And then we go to verse 10. "Now an Israelite woman's son, his father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and the man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. Then they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelomit, which means peace, comes from the word Shalom. And she was the daughter of Dibri, which means my word, of the tribe of Dan, which means judge. And they put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. So we have a man whose father is an Egyptian, but whose mother is a Jew. And he blasphemed God's name. He was struggling, fighting in the camp with an Israelite, and he blasphemed God's name, and they didn't know what to do with him. So they brought him to Moses, and they said, we'll just put him aside until God's will is known. Then, verse 13, God begins to speak, but he doesn't necessarily speak about this guy first. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring out to the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, he shall be put to death. Whoever takes a human life shall surely be put to death. Whoever takes an animal's life shall make it good, life for life. If anyone injures his neighbor, as he has done, it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Whatever injury he has given the person shall be given to him. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, and whoever kills a person shall be put to death. You shall have the same rule for the sojourner and the native, for I am the Lord your God. So Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and they brought out of the camp the one who had cursed and stoned him with stones. Thus the people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, so that is the background to John chapter 7 and 8. Alright, I'll write out what all this says. Alright, we have Leviticus chapter 23 and 24, and this is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths. Then we have a law immediately following regarding olive oil for the lamp. Then we have bread continually displayed. Then we have an Israelite versus an Egyptian father, and the mother was a Jewish woman. And then we have the fact that he blasphemed the name of the Lord. And then finally we have regulations regarding murder and stoning. Okay.
All right. So, this gives us the whole background of John chapter 7 and 8. And I'm only going to... I will stop in a minute because I have to go through this in Japanese. But in John chapter 7 and 8, it's at the Feast of Tabernacles. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, we have Jesus. He goes up. After they're all discussing, is this a true prophet or is he a bad guy? How can he be wrong if he heals a blind man? How can he be right if he doesn't keep the Sabbath? And so there's this fight going on. And then Nicodemus says, well, our law doesn't judge anyone if it doesn't know him, does it? And they said, well, how can he be the Christ if he's from Galilee? You know, all these issues are coming up. He doesn't keep the Sabbath, but he can heal people. He's from Galilee. He's supposed to be from Bethlehem, but the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem, but Jesus is from Galilee. And they say in the conclusion, no prophet comes out of Galilee. So that he must be wrong. And then it says, everyone goes to his own house, in John chapter 7, the last verse, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. So Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives. Now, in the morning, very early in the morning, in John chapter 8, suddenly Jesus comes back down, and there he is, early in the morning, back in the temple again. And then suddenly, that's when they bring the woman who was caught in adultery. And they say, look, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act of adultery. What are we going to do with her? Are we going to stone her or not? So they were trying to trap Jesus. Obviously, they were trying to get him to... See, if Jesus had have said, yes, we should stone her, then the Jews were not allowed to do capital punishment because the Romans had taken away their right to do it. So they would have said, ha, this man's a murderer, and they'll go and tell the Romans. He's trying to get people to kill, right? We can't do that. We're Roman, under Roman law. But on the other hand, if he said, no, she shouldn't be stoned, then they would say, this guy doesn't keep the law. So this is a trap that you would think Jesus had no way of getting out of. But, of course, he bends down and he writes on the ground, probably the law. That would make sense, because God wrote the law with his finger on the tablets, so it would make sense that that was what Jesus was writing. Perhaps he was writing the law, you shall not commit adultery, I don't know. But anyway, it says, suddenly all the people walked away, beginning with the oldest to the youngest. And then the woman was left, and he says, does no one condemn you? And the woman said, no one. And he said, well, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And then after that, we have this long dialogue between the Jews. And the Jews keep coming and saying to Jesus, where is your father? We were not born of fornication. Because he's talking about, I came from the father. And the Jews say, well, where is your father? And he says, you don't know me or my father. If you knew me, you would know the father. I came from the father, and I'm going back to the father. Well, what do you mean you came from the father? Who are you? And are you the Messiah? They're trying to trap him all the time. But as you can see, all of these things are coming up. Because in the Feast of Tabernacles, what they would do, they would go from the Mount of Olives, they would get olive oil, and they would bring it down, and they would light these big lamps in the temple at the Feast of Tabernacles. And then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. That's where he said it. So he's taking the tradition that the Jews would do, the tradition that they were doing about lighting and making these big fires, and saying, that's me, I'm the light of the world. Another thing they would do at the Feast of Tabernacles, there were three. The other thing was they would go to the pool of Siloam, a spring, and they would get water, and they would pour it out over the temple floor. And Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and I will give him living water. But then it says, this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is taking this massive, big, very famous, well-known event about the pouring out of the water, which was a huge event, and he was saying, that's me. I am the light of the world. I'm the olive oil. That's why he went up to the Mount of Olives, and then in the morning, when the sun is coming up, he's the light of the world, right? There he is. The sun is rising in the background, and Jesus is there saying, I am the light of the world. And he brings his light. And the third one the third one was the bread of life. He's the bread that came down from heaven. We've already covered that in John 6. So they were the three main ones. But this, the other thing that he talks about in John 8 is, he who continues in my word is my disciple indeed. If you continue in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he emphasizes, I'm the light, I'm the living water, and the word of God. That's why we have the olive oil. That's why we have the bread, picture of the word of God. And then we have this struggle between a Jewish person, Jesus, and those Jews who were the Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. And John 8 is all this big struggle about who is your father. Is your father God, or is your father the devil? And they say, we are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's descendants, why are you trying to kill me? You are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. You don't listen to my words because you are of your father the devil. So actually, this Egyptian father with the Israelite mother is the Jews. The righteous Israelite is Jesus. And it's the Jews who want to bring this woman to be stoned. And it's the Jews, in the end, who try to pick up stones to stone him. They want death. They want stoning. Jesus is actually the one who saves this woman. And so we have the whole of these things. Jesus said, I don't have a devil. They keep saying to him, you have a devil, in John 8. And he says, no, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. So all of the events that come out in Leviticus chapter 23 and 24, every single one of them is exactly connected to John chapter 7 and John chapter 8. And this teaches us that when we read Leviticus, we see that Jesus is fulfilling it. He's taking each of those parts and applying it to himself. Now, as we read the Bible, we've got to look and find those connections. We've got to say, where does it talk about this in the Old Testament, or where does it talk about it in the New Testament? And when you get a couple of things together in one passage and a couple of things together in another passage, you can see that it's a clear link. Or you can start to think about it when you're reading your Bibles. Have I seen this before? Is this name somewhere else? Is this idea somewhere else? And when they all come out together, or at least one or two things, even two or three things, come together, you can find a definite link. So then as we read John, this will help us to understand what he's saying. In the second part of this message, I'll be talking about the message then, about what he's saying. Today, up until here, we've just been talking about how to find the connections between the Old and New Testament. In this case, Jesus was simply fulfilling the typology of the feasts when he went to the feast. Okay. Hi. そして、始めます。そしたら、今日は、レビ23章と24章と、ヨハネ7章とヨハネ8章のつながりについて、説明したいと思います。まあ、皆さんはレビ23と24章を読まれましたか？また読みませんので、もし読めなかったら、もう一回、まあ、休憩の時に読んでください。そして、今から説明します。そのポイントで。レビ23章は、まあ、6つの、祭りについて話しています。そして、イスラエルの歴史、には祭りが6つありました。春の祭りと秋の祭りがあります。そして春の祭り3つありますけど、最初は、まあ、もちろん杉越の祭り。杉越の祭りは出エジプト、エジプトから出た時の祭りです。そして3日後に、その祝宴の3日後に、それは忘れた、ごめんなさい、日本語の名前忘れました。最初の収穫が始まる祭りになります。また調べます。そして初穂ですね、初穂、ごめんなさい、初穂の祭り。そして50日間後に、まあ、ペンテコステの祭り、収穫の祭りがあります。で、それは春で、その3つの祭りはイエス様が最初に来た時に成就されました。イエス様は十字架につけられた時、それこそ杉越の祭りです。イエス様は3日後によみがえった時に、それは初穂の祭りを成就したことです。そして50日間後に聖霊が降りてきて、教会は聖霊に満たされた時は、それはペンテコステの祭りです。で、それは、まあ、教会の小時代にありました。しかし夏が終わったら、また秋に3つの祭りがあります。そして最初はそのラッパを吹く時、ラッパを吹く時はやっぱりラッパは警告、何かなるでしょうという、ことを表しています。次はヨムキプール、食材の日、食材かな、食材の日、食材の日。それはイスラエルはの罪、1年分の罪が許される、取り除かれる、ヨムキプールのヤギは捧げられたその日です。そして最後の祭りはカリエオの祭り。カリエオはペンテコステの祭りになります。そしてそれぞれのポイントはレビ23章に出てきますけど、レビ24章になると カリイオの祭りのちょっと後で、ちょっと関係なさそうだけど実は関係ある、オリビュー の、 あの、まあ、律法があります。常に天幕の中で食材のためにあのオリビューを備えなければならない、そして常にパンを備えなければならないということです。そしてレビ24章、その2つの律法の次出てくるのは、あのイスラエル人の母、そしてエジプト人の父とイスラエル人の間の争いがあります。そしてその争い格闘しながら、その父がエジプト人の人は、あの主の皆を冒涜しました、主の皆を冒涜した。そしてその人はじゃあどうすればいい、あの神様の御心を理解するまでにどっかに置かなければならない。で神様は語った時に、この人をあの聞いた人はみんな手を置いて、あの石を投げて殺しなさい、主の皆を冒涜する人はそのように死刑を受けるべきですと神様は伝えました。そしてあの動物を殺す者は動物を代わりに与えなければならない、怪我をさせた人はその同じ程度の怪我を受けなければならない、その、まあ、旧約聖書の伝統です。しかし殺人はその人は失敬しなければならない。そしてこのテーマが出てくる、もう一回あの見ます。カリイオの祭り、オリーブ油、備えのパン、次にそのイスラエル人の母、エジプト人の父とイスラエル人のとの戦い、主の皆を冒涜すること、殺人、そして最後に石を投げてその人を殺すことになります。それこそヨハネ7章とヨハネ8章です。あの今から、まあ、皆さんずっと読んでますので、あのもう一回あの全部読みませんので、もし読んでなかったら自分でもう一回読んでくださいけど、あのもう毎週やってますので、まあ、読んでると思いますけど、その7章、先週の話では、あのそれはカリイエの祭りです。でカリイエの祭りにあの、まあ、主に2つの大きなあの、まあ、儀式があります。最初はあの彼らはシロアムの、湖から水を汲んで、それを天あの神殿のところに持ってきて注ぎました。でそれはもうすごい大喜び の、 あの行列、あの詩編118編の歌いながらあのそうしました。そして祭司はあの先立ってあの口笛あ笛をあの弾きました、あ吹きました。そしてあの、まあ、すごい喜ぶあの儀式でした。あのそれはイスラエル人が、まあ、やっぱり水は当たり前のものではないので、神様の豊かなあの、まあ、豊かに水を与えてくださることに感謝したり、また次の年の、まあ、水のためにあの祈ります。もう一つはあのそのカリエの祭り、第二神殿の時代、イエス様の時代にあのオリビ山から、オリーブを集めて、そして降りてきて、そしてその神殿の女の庭ではあの4つのでっかいあの、まあ、灯台をあのに火をつけました。でそれはもうエルサレムから光を放つあのことになります。そういう背景でイエス様は、私こそあの世の光です。ヨハネ7章が終わるときにニコデモはあの、まあ、イエス様あの私たちの律法は人を聞かずにあの裁くものですかと言いました。イエス様の弁明をしようとしていた。でも他のサルカイ人たちとかパリサイ人たちはニコデモに対して、あなたもガリラヤ人なのか、あのもう調べてこい、あのガリラヤから預言者が出ないと言います。それまでにみんなはイエス様はどんなものかをみんな、まあ、取り合いしているけど、あのやり取りしていますけど、しかし結局ガリラヤから出ているのでメシアじゃないということと、安息日守ってないから メシアではないということを彼らは伝えていた。逆に、まあ、メシアでなかったらどうやって病人を癒すことができるかということ。だから、まあ、イエス様を信じる人と断っている人がいましたけど、みんなはそれぞれの家に行きましたけど、あのヨハネ8章が始まるのはイエス様はオリブ山に行きました。そして 一泊泊まって、朝早くヨハネ8章一節、朝早く彼はあのまた降りてきて、太陽が昇っている時にイエス様はそういう文脈で、私こそ世の光です。なぜならオリブがオリブ山から降りてき、あの連れてこられた、運ばれてきたと同じように、イエス様自体はそのオリブ山から降りてきて、彼はおそらくその大きな灯台の隣であの喋っていたでしょう。だから彼は、私こそあの世の光です。その時に会員で捕まれた女を石で投げて殺そうか、そうすべきか、そうすべきじゃないかとイエス様は問われました。もしはい殺そうと言ったら、じゃあローマの法律を破るものになります。なぜならユダヤ人には死刑の権利がなかった。しかし逆に、いやダメですと言ったら、じゃあモーセの律法を無視しているかとイエス様にあの訴えることができるから、まあ、イエス様の罠を作っていた。しかしイエス様はあの指で地面で書いてて、そして自分の中に罪がない人はあの最初の石を投げなさいと言いました。そしてイエス様は、私こそ世の光ですと。背景に太陽が昇っている。それからイエス様は信じる者にあの常に私の御言葉を継続する者はあの私の本当の弟子です、あなたは真実を持って、その真実によってあなたは釈放されるとイエス様は言います。そしてあのヨハネ8章の残りは面白いやり取りです。でパリサイ人、サドカイ人対イエス様で、その争いの問題はありゆるありますけど、一つはイエス様は何度も、なんであなたたちは私を殺そうとしている、安息日に人をあの助けたから、で彼らはあのお前は悪霊がいる、私たちは殺そうとしてない、でも明らかに殺そうとしていた、あの他の人たちは、この人は彼らは殺そうとしている人なのか、彼らはこれはメシエだと知っていないのかと言います。そしてすでに彼らはあの兵士たちを送ってイエス様を捕まえようとしていたから、まあ、明らかにイエス様を殺そうとしていた。殺人。そしてあなたの父はどこ、イエス様はいつも私の父から来て私の父の言う通りに教えるとかで、彼らはあなたの父はどこ、彼らは予的に、まあ、ヨセフのことを言ってた、まあ、マリアは少女でイエス様は生まれたから、まあ、それはカインと思って、あなたは罪に生まれたということを歌えていた。しかしイエス様は逆に違います、私は父から来て、あなたはあなたの父サタンの技をします。サタンは最初から殺人、最初から嘘つき、あなたは今彼らあなたの父の技をしている。アブラハムはそうしなかった、彼らは我々はアブラハムの子、イエス様はアブラハムの子だったら、なんで私を殺そうとしていた。だからあの結局レビ24章のテーマが次々出てくる。で最後にイエス様は私はあると言います。そして彼らは石を取って投げようとしてたけど、あのイエス様はもう時間がまだ来てないから、彼らの間から通りました。ではカリエルの祭り、イエス様はヨハネ7章8章でそれを成就しました。オリーブ油の律法はイエス様はその旧約聖書の律法と新約聖書のその当時の習慣を、ま、あの成就しました。彼こそオリーブ油の光です。備えのパン、常に私の言葉を続ける者こそ私の弟子と言いました。そしてあの次に自分の父がエジプト人、 そして冒涜する主の名を汚す者、それこそイスラエル人のリーダーたち、彼らはそういうあのものでした。彼らは実は殺されるべきでした。逆に彼らはイエス様を石投げで殺そうとしていた。だから殺人、あなたはあのちあのあなたの父サタンみたいに私を殺そうとしている、そして石投げの、 あのことは最中にあります。彼らはこの女を持ってきて、じゃあ石を投げるかということ。まあ今日はね、ここまでこの前半ではこれだけですけど、あの聖書を読むときに新約聖書と旧約聖書、まあ新約聖書旧約聖書だけではなくて、ある箇所と他の箇所には関連性はあります。でどうやってそれを見つけるかというと、まあ同じパターンが出てくるか、それを見ます。この時は明らかです。なぜならイエス様はカリイオの祭りを守るために行きました。じゃあカリイオの祭りを、ま、あの礼拝あの守ろうとするときに、じゃあ旧約聖書のカリイオ祭りのことを読みましょう。なぜならそれは絶対関連しています。あのもう一つは、例えばオリビュとかパンとか、あの、まあ、他のテーマが違うところに出てくる場合は、まあ、その2つのことが関連しています。じゃ あのその関連性を一旦分かったら、そのメッセージ自体をもう少しあの理解できるようにあのなりますので、まあ、今から後半では、そのメッセージに関してあの話したいと思います。 OK, so in the first section we did that, we looked at how Jesus is fulfillingThe Old Testament. We looked at how to find relationships between the Old and New Testament. In this case, Jesus, of course, was at the Feast of Tabernacles, so it stands to reason that anything written about the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be related to that passage. So if we can read them together, we're going to see. And then when we do that, we can put the things together and realize that, well, actually, that thing about the olives, that's talking about Jesus. And it's talking about how he's the light of the world.The thing about the bread, that's about Jesus. It's talking about how he told the people that if you continue in my word, right? It's always, the bread's always got to be put on display. It's not once a day. I mean, sorry, it's not once a week. It's every day, morning and evening. It's got to be there. Then we see these people, this guy with the father who was an Egyptian and the mother who was a Jewess, fighting and blaspheming. And we realize that relates to the Jews, that they were the ones who Jesus said, your father is the devil, that's why you want to kill me, that's why you're lying, that's why you don't hear my words. And then finally we've got the stoning and the blasphemy. And so when we're reading John chapter 7 and 8, it's the Old Testament context that really gives us clarity on what it's actually talking about. Now, that aside, now we've established that, let's actually look at the message.And what's the point of it all? Okay, because if we're only doing that, there's no little point, right? It's only giving us a big head. It's not actually speaking to our heart, and it's not actually going to help us in life. So it's really the message that we need. So now that we've understood that, that was kind of just a reminder. Let's look at the message now. Okay, this whole thing then is a contrast between the Israelite and the blasphemer.This is a contrast between the righteous one and the unrighteous one. John 7 and 8 gives us a really good illustration of what is the difference between people who are righteous and people who are unrighteous. And I'm just going to take three aspects of it. The first one, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. Why did they have to have a Feast of Tabernacles anyway? What's the point of it? I mean, I like camping, but, you know, what's the point?The point of the Feast of Tabernacles was this. The Jews walked 40 years. 40 years in the wilderness. Okay, it needn't have been 40 years, but because of their sin it was. It might have only been 2 years if they had have entered the Promised Land when they were commanded to. But even then, it would have been 2 years. And during that 2 years, they had a total turning point in their nation's history, where they went from being slaves...in a totally worldly pagan culture, to being free in a situation where they really had nothing except the things they could carry, and they had to trust God every day and every night for everything they had. They were free, but they were also totally, totally dependent upon God. They were free, but they had God's presence with them. John 1 says, the first book of John, and we're reading John, it says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus, taking a body and coming to live in the world, is the Feast of Tabernacles. Him dwelling in the tent is the body. Peter said, you know, the time's coming when I'm going to put this tabernacle aside, this tent aside. And he was talking about his physical body, right? So your body is your tent that your spirit and your soul dwell in, right? If I cut off both legs and both arms, it doesn't take away anything about you. You're still 100% you, even though 50% of your body is gone, right? This is just a tent. The real us is our spirit and our soul. And so, Jesus came to dwell among us, alright? The Feast of Tabernacles shows us that. A righteous person lives the Feast of Tabernacles. A person who lives in a tent doesn't spend, like I did, 6 weeks, you know, fixing up a room. You know, we don't have to worry about that, because it's a tent. You know, actually, the lighter the better, just pack it up and go, you know. It's people when they get stuck and attached to this world that we actually start spending all of our money and all of our time and all of our efforts doing worldly things. But Jesus represents a transient life. He keeps repeating this in John chapter 8. I came from my Father, and I'm going back to my Father. I came, I'm going to do His will, and I'm going back. That is the character of a righteous person. And that should be our character. That should be what we do. Right? Like you guys, you know, you came to Japan, do what you do, and go. You know? But that's the way it is in the life, right? I don't have to be someone that other than what God wants me to be. I don't care if I'm an Australian, or I don't care if I'm, you know, living in this class of society. I came from God because I'm a Christian now. So I came from God. I'm here to do God's will, and I'm going back. Whether I do it well, or whether I do it partly, or whether I don't do it hardly at all, whether I mess it all up, doesn't really matter much. I came, I'm going to do it, and I'm going home. And that's the righteous person's attitude. Right? Some people will do a lot. Some people will do a little. But in the end, it comes down to that. That should be our attitude. I came from God. So, you know, you don't have to call me an Australian or whatever. It doesn't matter. Wherever I came from doesn't really matter anymore. I'm here to do God's will. And I'm going back to do God's will. That's it. On the other hand, an unrighteous person is absolutely attached to this world, right? I've heard many stories of people, you know, when they, like, for example, there's one story of a friend of ours, and, you know, she got married, and her husband's family was so attached to the business that it ended up causing a divorce, because they were clearly more concerned about their shop than they were about their family and their grandchildren and all of that, and it ended up causing a divorce. They were so attached to the world. Look, if this business fails, I'll start another one, or go somewhere else and work for someone. The business doesn't mean anything. If you're a righteous person, you really don't care about your business. You're just happy to do God's will. And, of course, it's good to have a good business. There's nothing wrong with that, but it doesn't hold us. If the business fails, all right, no problem, we'll start another one. But the Jews, these Jews, were so attached to the world. How were they attached to the world? Because when their Messiah came, their Messiah was a trouble to them. Because they were like, if this guy doesn't be quiet, the Romans are going to come and take away our position. You know, and they did, actually, in 70 AD, anyway. But they loved their position in the world. They loved their status as religious teachers and high in society. They loved the status of a set life. And they didn't want anyone to get in the way of that. And that was an unrighteous thing, because in such a case, if you're so attached to the world, you will never hear the word of God. Jesus said, you don't hear what I say because you're not of God. And to them, that would have been extremely insulting, but it was true. They were so attached to the world, that they loved ever the things of the world, that when God himself came, they couldn't recognize him. What a shame. What a tragedy that was for them. So that's the first thing. The character of the righteous is that I came, I'm doing God's will, whether I succeed or not, it doesn't really matter because God doesn't judge us on our performance. He simply just wants us to walk with him, to dwell with him, to live with him every day, to talk to him, to allow him to talk to us. All right, but an unrighteous person, he is attached to the world, and the world will keep him from doing what God called him to do. All right, let's look at the second one. The second one is the light. I am the light of the world. And Jesus said, ye, meaning all of you, are the light of the world. That means just as he is the light of the world, so are we. Right? So when this woman comes, he's there. The sun is rising, and he's the light of the world, and he's about to express God's heart. And they bring this woman, and he shows the heart of God. The heart of God is that, yes, she's done a crime, and yes, according to the law, it was a capital crime, but God's more concerned against hypocrisy than he is on people who fail. Right? The hypocrisy of holding someone's sin against them, even though you yourself have done the same thing, is a far, far greater sin than it is to just simply make a moral mistake. Jesus says, I don't condemn you either. That was the God of the universe. I don't condemn you. Go, sin no more. That was it. She could walk free. But the Jews, they were intent on having this woman stoned to death. Jesus, therefore, is representing God's light. He's representing the truth. Now, let's look at the difference again between the righteous and the unrighteous. The light that Jesus came was Galilee light. Right, there's Galilee, and there's a sun set on Galilee in the background there. There, I'll just show you. Can you see it? Right. Okay, that's Galilee, and that's the light. That was the place where they said no prophet could come from there. But they didn't understand in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, Galilee of the Gentiles, the land of people that walked in darkness, have seen a great light. And so the light that Jesus brought was the Galilean light. It was the light of people who were despised, people who were rejected, people who nobody could respect. These were the ones who represented God. And they said to Nicodemus, are you of Galilee? That was an insult. Right? And yet that was the light that Jesus came. It was a scandalous light. It was a light that people looked at and thought, oh, we don't need that. If that's the light, we don't want it. That was the light that Jesus brought. In other words, it's a light of people like you and me who are failures. People who can't do it right. People who get it wrong. People who make mistakes. People who can't speak well. Who, you know, we lie. Sometimes we sin. We realize our mistakes. That's the light of the world that Jesus shines through. The Galileans. He didn't come and shine through the Judeans. He came through the Galileans. It was the outcast. The hillbillies. Also, the purpose of the light. What's the purpose of God's light? God's light is God's law. But what is it? It was not to shine on everything and make every little thing clear. The purpose of the light was simply to shine on one thing. Jesus said, I don't condemn the woman. Why not? Didn't God say in his law that he condemned adultery? I mean, not in this place, but in other places. Yes, he did. But the purpose of it is this. This is a big, heavy book, right? And God is not trying in any way to put this upon somebody and weigh them down by it and say, you've got to keep every single one of these laws all the time or I'm going to kill you. He's not doing that. When we read the Word of God, and this is something we've been talking a lot about in the church recently, but he just gives us one thing. Actually, in this chapter, Jesus was not so concerned about the woman's adultery. He just said, go and don't do it again. he was concerned about hypocrisy. He was concerned about these blasphemers who were blaspheming God's name. That was what he was talking about. And so for us, as a Christian, right, we have to represent God. I can't go to some people and say, you know, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're doing that, you're doing that. That's not going to work. God doesn't do that. He gives one thing, one thing. And that one thing, in this case, was hypocrisy. What he wanted people to do is he wanted them to continue in the Word. And these people weren't listening to the Word. So that this is the way that we have to learn to be as well. As a father, you know, I look at the kids and there's 15 things I want to change. But I can't. I've got to just think about which one I should do first. I mean, we just did this room. Imagine we were trying to paint and drill a hole and, you know, cut wood at the same time. It would become a mess, right? You've got to do one thing at a time. If you don't do one thing at a time, it doesn't work. Jesus does that with the law. He doesn't bring everything together. And you think about the history of Israel. I mean, it says Josiah celebrated a Passover and they hadn't done it since Solomon. Really? Really? Or I think one Hezekiah and his generation, they did it too. But why not? What about all those good kings? What about Asa? What about Jehoshaphat? All those good kings who lived their whole lives, didn't they ever celebrate Passover? Seems they didn't. What about keeping the Sabbath on the land? Didn't they do that? Because in the end of in Jeremiah, he says, God says, I'm taking 490 years of worth of every seventh year's Sabbath. And so that's 70 years. I'm claiming them now. All right, let's calculate back. About 500, that takes us back to about the time of Solomon. They hadn't kept the Sabbath laws regarding the land since the time of Solomon. And yet, all that time, you don't see in the prophets that God's going on and on and on about keeping. You're not keeping the Passover. I gave you the feast and you're not doing it. And he doesn't talk about the Sabbath for the land much. It might come up once or twice. He's not concerned so much about those things. He's concerned about idolatry. He's concerned that people are not walking in his word. He's concerned that people are living their life without him. So, this is the light that God gives. It's not a light that's out there to condemn, and it's not a light that's out there to accuse, like these guys are doing. It's a light that's there to shine on your heart and say, right now, this is what I want you to change. This is how I want you to become like me. It's a very easy light. It's a nice light. It's like this. It's not too bright. And it just shows up a little bit. If we walk in the light, that's what he wants us to do. He's not expecting that we're just going to change in one day, because we can't. But he's going to show us little bits at a time, and this is the way I want you to walk today. Finally, the truth. If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, he said. What was keeping these people from the word? He said in John, you don't hear me. You don't know my word because you are of your father, the devil. And that's the reality. Jesus speaks, but we don't hear because we're not desiring to follow him. We're not making any conscious effort at all to live as he asked us to live. If you continue in my word, this bread every day, every night, God, that's the way God speaks to us. Now, it's true, in the wilderness, they had to eat manna for 40 years, and they got sick of it, really sick of it. You know, they said it's detestable. It wasn't that bad, right? It had coriander in it. The Japanese wouldn't have liked that. It tasted like coriander seeds. But it had honey taste and a coriander taste. To me, that would be great. Like Indian food, Indian sweets. It must have been all right. But it was completely what God provided for them. It provided all their needs, all their nourishment, all everything that they needed. And yet they hated it because they wanted always something new. That's the way the Word of God is. If you are going to do what God says and continue in my Word, like the continual bread, you've got to overcome the fact that you're not going to get, you know, oh, next year they're bringing out a new Bible. It's like the next version of The Lord of the Rings or something like that. No, we're just going to read the same old one we've been reading for 4,000 years. But that, you've got to overcome that, because when you overcome that and you accept the fact that this is how God speaks to us, wow, then everything changes. And you realize, actually, God does speak to me through this. And you can be excited about it. And I'm amazed when I read the Bible, because God shows me new things all the time. And it's just, I can't believe I never saw this before. That's because he doesn't try to show us everything all the time. He just shows us the little things he wants us to walk in at that time. The unrighteous, they've learned it all before. They learned it in the Bible school with Gamaliel and school of Shammai and the school of Gamaliel and the school of the Sadducees. They learned all their shingaku, they learned all their theology. They've heard it all. And that's the problem, because they've heard it all. You know, I learned that 20 years ago. I remember we did all that. You know, we did Daniel, you know, the prophecies of Daniel. I know all of them, Daniel 2, Daniel 7. I know it all. I can tell you all the order and all that. That's the reason that they don't walk in the Word of God, because they read it and they think, yeah, I know this. And yet they're missing the point. God is trying to tell you, walk in this. I'm going to show you something today that you need, and I want you to walk in. But they're not open to it because they've heard it all before. Okay, let's go on to Japanese. That'll be the end of the English. Hi, so stay. ごめんなさい。長いけど、続きます。はい、これは最後のところですけど、レビ23章、24章は天幕の祭り、カリオの祭りを表しています。そしてイエス様はそれぞれのポイントをちょうどその順番で成就しています。さあ、その関連性のことは話しました。その聖書の調べ方は話しました。それで、まあ、天幕のカリイオの祭りはまあ、イエス様 のヨハネ7章8章の背景ですので、それを読んだらそれがよくわかります。オリビュー、このオリビューの立法はイエス様の世の光のことを表している。それが分かっています。備えのパンは毎日毎日新しくしなければならない。それがイエス様の真実、真理について語っています。それが分かります。そしてこのイスラエル の母でエジプトの父の人は実はヨハネ7章8章に出てくるサドカイ人、パリサイ人に当てはまります。彼らの父はサタンとイエス様は強く言いました。だからまあエジプト人、すみません、イスラエル人でありながら実は父はサタンです。そしてその人は殺されるはずでした。殺されるべき。そしてその新約聖書に出てくる人も殺されるべきです。彼らは主の皆を冒涜するものです、汚すものです。そして彼らの殺人と石投げられることは全部分かっています。はい。そしてその調べ方が一旦分かったら、より深く理解できたら、さあ次にそのヨハネ8章7章のメッセージの方を考えましょう。なぜならただの勉強だったら全然私たちの人生を祝福するものになりませんので、じゃあ今からそのイエス様が伝えようとしていたことを話しましょう。最初はカリイオの祭り、カリイオ、カリです。カリの話、これはいつまでも同じものではない。狩りは一時的です。狩りもう今日だけかもしれない。イスラエルはアラノに住んでいた時にたまには一日だけこの場所で天幕をつけました。ある時は数ヶ月、ある時はもしかしたら数年間同じところに泊まっていたけど、狩り用はそのままです。そしてイエス様はカリイオ祭りを表しました。成就しました。ヨハネ一章はその御言葉は肉体を取って、体を取って我々の間に天幕しましたと文字通り言います。彼らはまるで天幕で私たちの間に住まわれたので、私たち と交わりを取るためにイエス様は来た。交わりです。あのヨハネ7章8章はそういうことを表しています。家のことはその家が大きいか小さいか広いか新しいか古いかは全く関係ない。大事なのはその中の交わりです、ね、あの幸せの家族がいればどの家でもいい、テントでもいい。でも争いばかりの家族だったらどの家でも最悪ですよ。あの私たちはもう平和を求めている、そして良い交わりをあの求めていますので、あの交わりは目的、神様と交わる人生を送ること、それこそイエス様がもたらそうとする状態です。そしてあの借り家をということはイエス様の態度です。私は父の時から来て父の御心をもたらして、で父のところにあの帰る、そういう態度です。もう僕も皆さんもどうですか。神様のところから来てここで神様の御心をもたらして、やがて神様のところに帰る、そういう考えだったら、じゃあどの家に住んでもいい、どの国に住んでもいい、金があってもなくてもいい、病気でも健康でもどうでもいい、神様のところから来て神様の御心をもたらして神様のところに帰る、そういう態度があれば私たちは本当に神様の御心をもたらすことができる。逆に正しくないものは、あの借り家の祭りよりもこの人生の状態は絶対変わってほしくないということです。イスラエル人はユダヤ人はなんでイエス様にそんなに殺そうとしていた。イエス様は彼らの生活に邪魔していたから。ヘロデは他の王は認めたくない。ザルカイ人たちは他の祭司は認めたくない。パリサイ人たちはあの自分よりあの律法を守ることができる、自分より賢い、あの自分より本当に哀れみ深いあの先生がいたら、もうあの競争する競争心が出てきて、そしてあの人はあのもう認めたくない、彼は偽りのものだと言いました。なぜなら彼らはその状態で幸せでした。彼らはあの、人気を抱いて握っていた、彼らはあの権威を抱いていた、彼らはお金を持っていた、彼らはあの安定をあの 安らかにしていた。しかしあのもしイエス様にみんな従おうと思ったらローマ人が来てこの国を滅ぼすと恐れていた。だから神様の御心じゃなくて彼らの日常生活を考えていた。逆に正しいものは借り家祭りを生きる、それは今の状態は一時的、今の状態はもう本当に今日のパンは神様に与えられたらそれで十分、今日の導きがあったらそれで十分、来週来月再来年分からない、どこに行くか分からないけど、とりあえず今日は神様は一緒にいます、その光の頭がある、あの守っている影があるから主は私たちと共にいる、それで十分、そういう態度は正しい人の態度です。はい、じゃあ、あの次は借り家の祭りの次にイエス様はあの私はこの世の光であると言いました。この世の光、イエス様はどんな光でしょう。ガリラヤの光です。ガリラヤの光はどういう光でしょう。まあそれは調べましょう。ガリラヤ、あのイザヤ9章見てください。あのヨハネ7章であのガリラヤから預言者が出るわけない、あのニコデモ、あのお前もガリラヤ人かと言いました。あのガリラヤは軽蔑されているところでした。しかしあの見てください、あのイザヤ書、イザヤの9章、イザヤ9章、そしてあの1節2節、しかし苦しみのあったところに闇がなくなる、 先にゼブルンの地とナフタリの地は恥ずかしめを受けたが、後には海沿いの道、ヨルダン の川向こう、異邦人の民のガリラヤは栄光を受ける。闇の中を歩んでいた民は大きな光を見る。死の影の地に住んでいた者たちの上に光が輝くということです。そしてガリラヤは軽蔑されたところですけど、実はガリラヤは神様が働いていたところでした。この後ろにもし見てもらったら壁にガリラヤ湖があります。太陽が上がってるか沈んでいるかわからないですけど、そのガリラヤはそういうところです。ガリラヤの光は、イエス様は私は世の光であると言いました。そしてあなたたちも世の光であるとマタイに言いました。皆さん、私たちは世の光です。しかしどの世の光、ガリラヤの光、嫌われているものを通してその光が出る。私たちもガリラヤ人みたいに軽蔑されているかもしれない、教育を受けてないかもしれない、お金がないかもしれない、知識がないかもしれない、そんなに口がうまくないし脳がうまくないし、もう失敗だらけの人かもしれないですけど、そういう人からこそ神様は光を放ちたいと思っています。ガリラヤ人の光です。だからプライドのある人たちはそれを認めません。逆に本当に神様を求めている人たちは喜んでその光を受ける。神様の光はどういう光でしょうか。神様の光はこの御言葉です。イエス様の御言葉は光です。朝早くイエス様はオリビ山から降りてきて、太陽が昇っている時にその光は輝いていた。その文脈でイエス様は世の光であると言いましたけど、その時にどんなことがあった。カインでつくまった女が体の中に置かれた。そして彼女はもうカインの現場でつくまえられてた。どうしましょう、投げるか助けるか。でイエス様は彼女を釈放するように言いました。なぜなら、なんででしょう。律法はカインは死刑の罪と言ってないでしょうか。言ってます。しかしなんでイエス様は私はあなたを罪に定めないと言いましたでしょう。それはこういうことです。神様の光は私たちを殺す光ではなくて、私たちの足元を照らす光です。そして、光です。One just means shade. I give you shade. Kari is like, don't get it wrong. 光ね。だから私たちで次の一歩でどこに踏めばいいかを教えてくださる光です。それだけ必要。はい、この女は勧誘をしました。しかし周りのライオンたちは彼女を食おうとしていました。彼らの方が罪がある。彼らは偽善者。彼らは本当に彼女の罪をもう指摘しようとしていたから、イエス様はその女じゃなくて彼らを罪に定めようとしていた。イエス様の光は今すべての罪を照らすものでなくて、本当に一つのことを照らそうとしている。一つ、二つ。それだけで十分。もし私たちはイエス様の光を人に照らそうとしていたら、同じように全ての間違いを直すことは無理。それは御心じゃない。一つだけで十分。 あなたはもう政治的にも科学的にも歴史的にも、もう文化的にも全部間違ってると言っても、あ、そうと言われるけど、一つだけこれちょっと違うんじゃないかと言ったら、もう神様はこう言います。あ、そうですか。いっぱいいっぱいいっぱい与えたらもう人が溺れる、光に殺される。逆に私たちを少しだけ与えたら、あのその光が、導くものとなります。イエス様はそういう光です。だから私たちはその若い子ヤギを、あの母の父で、あの似てはならない、あのその命を耐えるはずの父は命成長するようなものです。もしヤギをパチンと入れて、あの煮たら、沸かしたら、あのもう死ぬ。だから御言葉はそのように用いなければならない。少しだけ。イエス様はそういう光です。しかしあの人たちは、あの勝手に御言葉を用いたから、正しくないものでした。はい。だからまあ私も父として家族のことを見たら、まあ今これもそれもあれも全部変えようとしても、それは難しい、無理。あの一つだけで十分。はい。OK。最後に、あの真実。私たちは全てを守ることが、あのできません。しかし、あのそのパン、今日はまあこの文脈でそのパン、その教えのレビに強調されているところは、常につないること、毎朝毎晩常に備えることです。聖書は常に読むことです。常に導かれることです。それでね、あの新学校の問題は、私たちはもういっぱい4年間で学ぶ。そして、あ、それは分かった、ダニエル書は予言は全部分かった、イザヤ書1章はこうで、2章はこうで、3章は52章はこうで、40章はこうで、もう全部言えるから、頭でその知識がもう随分蓄えているけど、でもそれはまあいいけど、それは助かるけど、しかし神様が毎日言っているのは、それぞれのところを、あの一つ与えたり、一つあげたり、一つ分かち与えたりすることです。だから今日必要なのはこの部分、その部分ですけど、私たちはもういっぱい最初から学んで全部分かったら、あとはもし、あの、あ、それは知ってる、それは知ってるという態度があれば、じゃあ毎日そのパンを食べないということです。うん。だからまあいっぱい勉強してもいいけど、でもその毎日の神様が与えている御言葉をないがしろにしてはなりません。あのマナは毎朝、あの現れてきた、降りましたので、彼らは、あのそれをもう40年間毎日食べていた。私たちも4000年ずっと同じ聖書を読んでいます。要はこんなことできないね。あの次のトランスフォーマーはいつ出てくるか次のスターウォーズがいつ出てくるか、古いスターウォーズはもう見たくない、新しいのを見たい、うん、ですけど聖書は変わらない。じゃあその毎日毎日、あ、またその箇所、またエズラ記を読むまたエステル、今回はあのまた、あのその長いリストを読まなければならない、ネヘミヤの何人が何族に、もうそのなんでなんで同じこと同じことばかり読まなければならない、その態度じゃなくて、今日は神様は何を与えてくださるだろうという楽しみの態度が、あの必要。毎日パンが新しくなったから、神様が毎日私たちに御言葉を与える、約束を与える、確認、確信、自分のため、他の人のため、自分の導きのため、何か理解を与えるため、すごいワクワク楽しいですけど、その人たち、あのユダヤ人がいっぱい勉強したから、もう勉強せんでいい、もうガリラヤから預言者が出ないからということ、 ガリラヤから予言された自転車じゃなくて予言者が目の前にあったのに彼らは気づかなかったのは、彼らのヒレルの学校、あのシャマイの学校でメシアについてはこうだと学んだから、それだけで。大体のクリスチャンは同じです。バプティストはこう信じている、ペンティコストはこう信じている、カトリックはこう信じている、で変わらない。だから彼らは毎日聖書に求めてない。しかし私たちは聖書を毎日求めなければ死ぬ。本当にもう命がなくなる。これは命のパン。人はパンだけで生きておられず、でも一つ一つ神の口から出るその御言葉によって私たちは生きるから、それがなかったら生きない。はい。そして最後にまとめます。レビとヨハネ7章8章はつながっているということです。それが分かったら、じゃあそれぞれのところを合わせて、これに何が強調されている、これは何が強調されているということが分かります。そのユダヤ人が実は主の皆を冒涜したものですので、これでこそ石投げられるべきでした。私たちは正しいものの模範に見習ったら、この人生はカリイオのように父のところから来て御心をもたらして帰る。その光は正しく用いましょう。そして真実は毎日求めましょうということで、はい、祈りましょう。天のお父様、ありがとうございます。どうか光ください。そして毎日あなたの御言葉によって導かれるように、ずっとそのカリイオの祭りの態度を持って、この人生は一時的なもので、神様に帰りたい、神様の御心を行いたいという態度がずっと燃え上がるように助けてください。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。